Pickaxe.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Pitch Please.
Wow!
This is the podcast where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. Do you like that tagline, Tom?
I do like that tagline. It works.
I think we need to workshop it a bit.
Okay, how about everyone at the same time says, pitch, please.
And we snap our fingers in three, three clicks.
But no one knows who these people are yet, Tom.
Well, that's fine. You'll figure them out from their voices as we all say, one, two, three,
pitch please.
I don't like that.
You don't like it? Like, okay. No. All right, we are joined by... I don't like that idea, Will.
I'm Will. I made a game once. And that's it.
Perfect. We're also joined by...
Greg, I also made a game once.
That's it.
Okay. Although, Will, you've made two games now.
I released another game this very week, actually, Greg. Have you played it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, God's sake. I see.
And also, finally...
Hello, I'm Brunch Club developer and amateur paleontologist, Chris Hills.
There's another one.
Amateur paleontologist. Yeah. I'd love to see your CV.
Yeah, it's big.
It's like 20 pages.
Big and CVS receipt.
No, nice. I'm Alex, and this is Tom.
Oh, hi, I'm Tom. Yeah, sorry. And I'm the idea guy, the pitch hole guy.
Yeah.
The guy that invites people into my mossy, damp, really horrible, grungy, disgusting, filthy, ragged,
but
awful.
Sometimes there's good.
I'm not done.
Ravaged.
I'm not done. gruesome. Yeah. Grueling.
Any good ones in there?
Shiny.
Yeah.
Sometimes glistening.
Sometimes there's oil in there, though.
Yeah. Sometimes is you come glistening out with oil. A nice one, though? If you went into a cave and it was glistening, would you turn away from it?
I feel like your pitch hole is a bit like, have you seen the Daniel Day-Lewis film There Will Be Blood?
Yeah.
The opening of that, and he is it's like a completely silent 15-minute scene of him going down into this oil hole that he's blown up, and he's like, he ends up coming out with like a broken leg and he has to crawl across the desert, but he's struck gold, basically.
So you think my pitch hole is a thing that Daniel Day-Lewis has blown up and it's filled with oil?
He's inside, like, he comes out filthy, he's a broken man.
From which you birth game ideas.
Oh God. Anyway, hi. Who wants to hear today's wonderful game idea?
Me. All of us. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Anyone else?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
We're
so,
here, aren't we?
Can you do it in a There Will Be Blood accent?
What is the There Will Be Blood accent? Because I lied when I said I had seen it.
Okay, so...
these humble hills.
Yeah.
Oh. You drank my milkshake.
Oh, okay.
It's that guy.
So, today's idea...
It's just your voice.
That's my old man voice. Today's idea is, it's a roguelike. We love them.
Yes, right. Yeah,
they're always
that.
Good.
I'm in.
It's a game in which there is an explorer. He goes into a cave and he tries to blaze it. And he's trying to, collect items.
Hang on a second.
And go through. However, that character that's going in to explore the dungeon and kill monsters and get fat loot, he is AI controlled. You are the overlord of the dungeon, a dungeon defender, if you will, who you're able to, before the level begins, place monsters from your roster of creatures. Oh. You put traps in. You basically have a generated level, and you are like, okay, so if the gold treasure vault is here, the AI is going to take this route to get there. You're basically placing almost like a turret defense kind of thing. Put monsters down to stop the AI-controlled hero from getting there. However, at the end of every level, if the hero succeeds or dies, he levels up. So you have to gradually get even stronger and stronger and get bigger defenses to stop this hero.
Wait, so whether he succeeds or dies, he levels up?
I mean, it's like a roguelike, right? Like, any gold he picks up, he will then, out of your knowledge, level up, power himself up, and be stronger next time round. If he beats you, however, gets a ton of gold, he gets stronger and stronger. More, maybe stronger than you, to a point where it's impossible to win against him. I don't know. So you have like a roster of monsters and traps, and you can hire little things. You can pay, oh, I've got like 100 gold, I'll buy an ogre and put that in there.
So it's like Orcs Must Die in terms of like you place big and there's a, well, in Orcs Must Die, obviously, there's a whole shit.
Well, how does that, can you describe that game?
I can. In Orcs Must Die, there's like a, you have like a start round. So you have a point where they need to get to, the orcs, and then you place like spike traps or slow traps, and there's like a swinging ball of doom.
Okay.
And you don't get to run around while that's happening, do you watch?
Because there's, no, you there's do. Because like, in Orcs Must Die, you can can shoot the orcs as they're coming in.
Because there's
same as Dungeon Defenders, which is why I said that. you place the traps, but you can also, while the wave is happening, shoot and fight your own things as well. So it's like that. However, I was imagining it almost like a sort of top down classic dungeon crawling game.
I'm envisioning Dungeon Keeper.
That's what I was thinking as well.
I was thinking in my head it was Cave Blazers.
I was thinking two things. I was thinking Dungeon Keeper, and then also there was a game a couple of years ago called The Mighty Quest for Epic Loot.
Yes.
Did anyone see that?
It's a Ubisoft game.
And that, and that's a free to play game. And the way that works is quite similar in that
it's the same.
You basically you have a dungeon and you place traps and things, but it's not an AI. You compete with other players. You play other people's dungeons.
That's the thing. I think in Dungeon Keeper and that Mighty Quest game, you can place rooms, right? You can build the entire dungeon. Whereas in this, you have a cave layout that is randomly generated or whatever. And
so that's the procedural element of it.
Yeah.
It?
So every level you've got like this new cave and you're thinking like, right, okay, if the treasure vault is here, or maybe you place the treasure vault and you're like, okay, I'll put it in this part of the dungeon. And I'll also surround it with a load of orcs or a load of ghosts and skelly bobs and traps and things.
I think, you should have to place it.
And then, and then you can, and then you just watch the AI try to navigate to get to the thing. And maybe he gets overwhelmed and killed.
Okay.
But in either case, he gets stronger every time. And maybe it gets to a point where he's like, he comes in and he suddenly uses this new ability and you're like, okay, I didn't know he had that.
Right. And so he's got like behind the scenes, he's got like a skill tree.
Yeah.
He might be, but maybe you have access, you can see the skill tree, but you can't see what he's investing points
in. Yeah, maybe there's certain weapons he picks up. Maybe in a chest he opens up, he suddenly picks up this sword. You see what sword he picks up, and it's like this thing that kills skeletons way easier. And you're like, oh, shit, okay. So I know he's got this thing. Maybe I should stop using skeletons.
So do you get to see at the end of his run, like, this is the loot that he got, and this is the amount of gold that he got?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I think.
And then he levels
Super
up.
Meat Boy, yes. In Super Meat Boy, every time you die, and when you complete the level, you see every run happen over and over. It follows the trail of that would be quite, I think that would work in a similar way quite nicely.
But yeah, he levels up, he gets more powerful. Maybe later on he brings a companion in and all of a sudden you have to fight against two things, but over time you're generating a massive army of these boys,
right? I see.
Or girls
yeah, come on.
And
2020
and you're trying to stop them from getting in.
I think this is a great idea. Should we wrap this up?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, that was Pitch Please. Would Make Would Play. Perfect.
Yeah, both.
You can give us more suggestions on Pitch Please Pod. Is there any more suggestions than that?
Wait, let's talk sequel.
What?
Yeah, let's make the sequel.
We've made a hit with the first, what are we calling it? Dungeon?
Blaze Cavers.
Dungeon Blaze Cavers.
Sorry, hang on. Are we just set? That's the game.
Let's talk Dungeon Blazer 2.
Are we not? Hang on a minute.
Electric Boogaloo.
Well, what are your initial, Greg, what are your initial impressions on this?
Yeah, love it. I'm on board.
Love it, yeah. It's great.
Are there any other things that...
No what changes needed. It's perfect.
Okay.
I think it has a very good, could have very good Steam Workshop support. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
I do feel the AI is, I think, where it's weakest. And I think asynchronous multiplayer might be the better option.
Well, that's the thing. I you could have two players, one person raiding, one person defending, but then you've just got you know,
Mighty Quest
for Epic Loot game, which I didn't enjoy. I didn't really enjoy
the
game.
No, I found it quite dry. But then that's because it was very simple. There wasn't enough to it.
It was very grid-based. You place this room, and then next to that, you're going to place the spike trap room, and then next to that, you're going to place the fire trap room. And then it was a little bit rigid, whereas in this, I like the idea that you literally pinpoint place all of these, like, oh, there's going to be goblin.
Like Mario Maker.
Yeah, like Mario Maker. And I think there also needs to be some limitation on how much you can put in, obviously.
Right.
So maybe you do the amount of gold the hero doesn't take, you get, or maybe that makes you too powerful later on if you just floor him round one and then round two and then round three.
Well, yeah, you could do it where the amount of everything costs, right? And then if someone clears that level, they earn the amount that you spent on, because the more traps you put in, the harder it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Therefore, they've accomplished more. So what if they earn the amount that you spent on it, and then like everyone has like a global pool of how much gold they can earn over like how much they've earned. That's how you leaderboard it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the harder runs give you more of a reward.
So is that if it was multiplayer?
Well, even it would work either AI as well. Like if you do a really hard one, the AI does it.
Yeah.
Then you'd actually, I suppose it would be the reverse of that, right? Because you'd lose, there wouldn't be a way to gain money.
No. Well, okay. So maybe there are things wrong with this game. No, I always want there to be things.
I'm not involved if it's got no AI in it.
No,
because I'm picturing, like, did you ever see the machine learning Mario?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my God, look at this idiot. Like, he couldn't do anything. Yeah. Then he started learning. Like, that's my sort of game loop in my head. Like, you're like, oh, look at this idiot. And then he keeps learning.
Yeah. So in level one, you place a load of traps, but he's just stood at the door spinning in a circle.
Yeah. Or you build
he'll just walk into it like in a really elaborate dungeon.
He won't go past. He can't jump over the first block.
Yeah, he falls into a spike trap and you're like, what an idiot. And then
but then next time
round,
he starts to recognize the spike traps and you're like, oh,
but does that not mean
inevitably,
like eventually he's just going to become so, he's going to learn so much. He'll be like that open AI, you know, for Dota, that Elon Musk's, whatever it is, company that he, where they, they've managed to have the AI that can
plays
beat
Dota.
Top players
in
Dota.
But it'd be your creation because you crafted that. Right. So you know that film about the drumming?
And
Whiplash.
Oh,
yeah.
Whiplash, yeah.
He's abusing the little drummer. We're abusing this little adventure. And it's like, well, you may hate me, but I made you.
Okay, oh so in level one, he literally just beelines straight for the treasure hoard. Doesn't even fight, doesn't even avoid traps. But then, say level 10, he's now jumping over traps. He then knows, like, oh, this guy that I'm playing against, he likes to put goblins around a corner. So he's like skirting around the corners properly and stuff like that. Eventually, yeah, it will get to a point where this AI is more powerful than anything you can put down against him.
But is that where the skill tree comes in? So maybe that he can only invest talents that allow him to do. So for example, say if you like to put, if your classic move is, I'll put a spike jump and then I'll put a spike pit directly after it. Then there's a double jump that he has to put in, he has to skill into. And
maybe.
So if you keep putting those, eventually he's going to skill into that. But then that just means you have to change your tactics.
Yeah, exactly.
There's two problems that I see with that. One, that's not how machine learning really works.
Okay.
And two, if the way you're explaining it, you'd need a supercomputer like just around
to
the corner.
The game.
Yeah. So the way most machine learning works is they learn from their mistakes. But they don't really learn. They just go, oh, I did this at this. So the last time I just ran, right? Oh, I died. Okay, so now I'm going to run, jump. If I jump, there's a spike above me, so I hit that. So now I need to jump less.
Uh-huh.
And they constantly go back and forth, and then they learn basically the perfect route, which is how the Mario one works.
Right.
That's where the Super Meat Boy-esque thing comes in, where you just,
yeah,
it's just this guy dying thousands of times.
It doesn't go, oh, this guy likes to place traps after jumps. It just goes, there's a trap there, I died, I'm just going to skip that, I'm going to jump over that. It doesn't go, oh, Tom's a clever boy.
Well, yeah, but okay, but we wouldn't be putting then, okay, it wouldn't be machine learning. It would be some kind of like false AI that we would have to program. Is that rudimentary AI learning? It's still machine learning.
Okay. It's just not some sort of IBM Watson-esque open AI Dota guy who, like, imagine has an idea.
So what you're
that,
saying yeah, is, this is the game of 2050.
No, we can't.
He's worried about the AI becoming racist.
It leaves you messages at the end. It starts shit talking you. Okay, so maybe it doesn't. Maybe it hasn't got AI learning. But I think I do love the idea that this is the game of 2050. Right? I'm just imagining 30 years from now, just imagine this game. You are a dungeon diving trainer.
Right.
And you're putting him through these rigorous tests of like, okay, he's going to try and get to the treasure vault. He dies on spike trap. Next time round, he learns to jump the spike trap, okay. But then he falls into a pit. So then he has to try and avoid those.
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe every 10th level or so, he then goes against a real dungeon. So you're training the AI. So what you're essentially doing is you're not fighting the AI, right? You're just trying to put
you're trying
him
to help
through.
Them.
Yeah,
you're that's like Greg's comment about like I made you who you are, which is yeah, that's really
yeah.
Cool.
So you're not working necessarily against the AI. You're just trying to put him through trial after trial, so that eventually he goes against the real dungeon.
You're like the you're dungeon dad.
You're the dungeon dad.
Oh my God, dungeon dad.
Dungeon daddy. I feel like daddy. It has to be daddy.
So. Are you saying that's impossible to make now?
I wouldn't say it's impossible. I just, again, the whole, oh, like saying, oh, he likes to leave traps behind spikes. And then,
right, okay.
I don't think.
But okay, but how
AI
would a computer. So what we shouldn't do is say, okay, let's imagine that this would work in 30 years' time, because then we get into the. Well, let's just force
also,
them to
you
play.
Also, you are the dungeon.
Then we get down the path of. Let's just put it in the curriculum, which becomes like not a good part. It needs to be a game that we can make now and that people would actually want to play for.
Again, you could make it.
Yeah. I think it could be made, but I don't think it's widely accessible. Okay. If you need a supercomputer to run this AI.
It looks like cave lasers, but you can't
fucking
run it on.
A supercomputer to run the AI. It's what you said at the start where it evolves. Obviously AI can evolve and learn certain things in games. How they do that now.
Right.
But the way you were talking of like, oh, he likes to place traps behind this and he has like a certain technique. I feel like that is a bit of a stretch. Like the Dota one literally does run off several supercomputers.
So what you're saying, it's the game of 2020.
It could like with the Super Mario thing, right? So the Super Mario thing is what I imagined and what I'm sure you were imagining. It jumps, it hits a Goomba, it dies. It knows now not to run into
them. That's a set level, right?
Yeah. But that's the issue. So you'd have to do the runs multiple times anyway. So that's the whole point of the game, right?
Right. Okay.
So it doesn't matter what the level is; you'll still learn it.
So okay, going back to the basic setup of this game, is it that you are some kind of parental figure or some kind of trainer? I think parental figure is good.
I think you are the dungeon daddy.
You're the dungeon daddy,
and you've got this little whelp. Adventurer,
yeah,
who doesn't know anything. He's just like, oh, treasure, yay, and he runs to the chest. You're procedurally placing traps and enemies and different things, and at the end of every run, you can then see how he's progressed, and you're like, maybe as a rudimentary AI thing, maybe he's like, oh, I now know that if I've killed 10 orcs, I know that orcs are weaker to arrows, for example. So you then get an update of what he has learned. So he's learned spike traps, they come out floor, jump them. Or orcs, they are really bad at being beheaded. Don't do that.
Right, yeah. And that's something that can be done, right? Yeah. Is that like,
so the yeah, more trials, that, yeah. the more yeah. trials you put him through, the better the adventurer gets. And you can see an updated log of what he has learned. And then eventually you say, right, now you have to go take on a real dungeon. And you just watch this character that you've trained go through a dungeon. And
so every 10 levels or whatever, you have a dungeon.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, sure. And then maybe when you look at the dungeon and you've got no control of this new dungeon, actual dungeon, and you look at it and you're like, oh no, pitfall traps. He doesn't know about those.
I didn't teach him about those, and that's on me.
Yeah, he doesn't know you need to bless the skeletons to kill them. He just thinks you just wail on them for an hour.
The chest is a mimic.
I can see it from here. He's got no idea. And you just watch him. You just watch him walk towards the chest mimic and you're like, no!
But you can't do anything about it.
You can't do anything about it. And he just dies. And you're like, oh, come on.
And then is he permanently dead?
I mean...
Oh, you just get a new kid that you have to...
So in the training, he dies and he comes back.
In the training, he comes back. It's non-lethal training. Yeah, so maybe there's a point where you're just like,
it's a holodeck.
I think you've learned enough. Be free, young grasshopper. And then he goes in and he just gets demolished instantly. Yeah.
Nice,
and you're like, oh God, okay, I need a new trainee. I need to adopt a new child to you know, is put through the rigorous trials of the Dungeon Daddy.
The overarching idea of the game is sending people off to their deaths at different times.
Like, well, yeah, I suppose. But
so how about then if every 10 levels, like say, you train up your little whelp, he becomes super powerful enough to go on to his first major real challenge. And then there could be some kind of progression element of if your little boy, your whelp, manages to succeed, then you as the Dungeon Daddy gain some kind of reward from that, whether it's like maybe there's some kind of new type of trap or some kind of enemy that he manages to conquer that you then get access to use in the training.
Yeah.
Or something else that...
I think you'd also have like a little whelp that has... They have different stats as well, because obviously. But maybe there's one that you get and he's like really weak, really slow, really not you know, the best fighter or anything, but he's really intelligent. And the intelligence has a spark where he like looks at something for the first time and is like, I know this already.
Right.
Or I'm like, I can sort of figure out how to cross this. And if you send him into a real dungeon, you're like, oh shit, I didn't train him on this thing. I didn't train him how to get through this barricade swinging around. And then all of a sudden he rolls through it and you're like...
An intuition.
Man! Yeah,
yeah, he's got intuition.
Like,
yeah,
he's got intuition. You're like, oh my God, he did it. He did it on his own.
That's my boy.
That's my boy.
Yeah, that's it. That's the feeling we need to try and go for.
Yeah, there's like a random chance that they'll just look at it and just be like, okay, all right. Or oh God. And then you just see him do it for the first time and you're just so proud of
with
it.
With a little pause. And yeah. You just stand there, no animation, nothing. And then it does it.
Yeah, you're just looking at him.
Oh yeah, you just see like a little kind of like dot appear, like a little ding above his head or something.
You just see him stop for a second. You're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you thinking? And then he just succeeds and you're just so happy that your little boy has learned. Maybe they learn through like, there's a tree of traps. So like... Right. Spike trap is one thing, then ceiling spike trap is another thing. Then, I don't know, wall spike trap, or maybe there's spike traps that are like alternating in pattern or something like that, but they're all part of the same tree. So maybe they learn, you know, oh, I've seen the floor spike trap, but this one's on the ceiling.
Okay.
Maybe it's the same thing. So they gain knowledge
in spikes. But if they haven't
learned it,
if they haven't learned it enough, then they might just see the spike trap and jump.
Well,
if it's on the ceiling, they'll jump into it.
Well, maybe, sure. But like, I don't know, I like the idea that they have a knowledge of a particular like family of things, so they have a higher chance of succeeding against different types of that same trap.
Okay.
But they also could just walk into it and just die straight away.
Okay, so thinking of like the lore of this, imagine if if the caves or the dungeons, whatever that you're trying to train to attack, are maybe it's basically like an exam that you're practicing for, right? I guess.
Yeah.
So say if it's like the first one is, I don't know, a castle, Transylvania castle, or I don't know, something. And you know, in this dungeon, there are going to be these kinds of traps or these kinds of enemies.
Yeah.
But I can only train my boy on a certain amount of them. And I have no idea which ones are actually going to show up when he does the run.
Yeah. So you're just hoping to train him in the right thing.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll just intuition his way all the way through it.
Yeah.
Stage one. And
you're
like,
but then there has to be some kind of, otherwise you could just hardcore push intuition and then he'd just get through the whole thing no matter what.
I mean, it has to be like a really slim chance. I would love the idea of just that one little success, so rare of happening, and then it happens and it's the best.
Does everyone get the same dungeon?
If
we all played it, right? And we've all got it. We've just booted up and we've done the first bit of training. We're ready to send him in for his first big dungeon. Do we all get the same layout? Do we all have our chance to like compete to, you know?
I think it's procedurally generated. Like if it was Transylvania Castle, right? Like you've then got that set of like, you know, it looks like Transylvania Castle. It's got the same generation. Method. I don't know what are the words I'm looking for.
Tiles.
Tile
you mean
set.
Like
tile
set?
Set.
Like art
stuff. So it's all very similar, but they're not the same.
Right.
And also, all the traps in that are then also placed in different ways and different monsters and things. But not so unbalanced that one person could get something full of skeletons. Someone could get one that's full of spikes. Mm.
Will,
I think it's different enough.
You've done a lot of procedurally generated stuff with tile sets, right? Is that
He's
what Cave Blazers is?
Made two roguelikes.
Yeah, that
would not have gone first.
Sure. But I don't know, is this even a roguelike? It's surely it's more like a management game. You're like adopting young, supple boys.
It's a roguelike for supple the people you're needed. Training, but not for you necessarily.
Yeah. You can be like a weird dad.
A dungeon dad.
He's like a treasure hunter, but he doesn't want to do it on his own. He's too old.
He's too old. He's living vicariously through the son.
Adopting boys and girls and training them up to go and get this treasure for him.
It's like the parent pushing the kid to do tennis or football.
He's like a general. He's like training a little army.
Yeah, but kids don't die in tennis.
Yeah, but this is a world where adventurers are common, so it's
kids
fine.
It's fine. There's too many of them. They're going spare. And I'm just like, yeah, fine. Give me 20.
Well, the kid is of age, so he or she is like...
Of age?
I don't know. But, you know, yeah, of age for an adventurer, sexually active.
It's spelunking age.
What's spelunking age?
12.
Well, in this world... what was that, 12?
Well, I think 12 is a good
spelunking
age.
Maybe you could adopt, like, a baby. Just send them in just to see what the dungeon's like. Yeah. They're going to die.
I feel like 12's too old. He's too big to fit through all the little cracks and stuff. You want to get him
young.
Yeah,
that's true. You should be able to get any age you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, but I guess... Or maybe every...
Sacrifice a baby to just
maybe
find
every
out.
Level.
Like a scout.
You just throw one off, see how big the drop is.
Maybe every level is a year, right? So you start with, like, I don't know, a six-year-old. And you put him through a little trial, and then the further you get, the more he learns, but the older he gets, right? So if you spend 20 years training this person, he knows a ton, but he's now, you know, 26.
I'm sorry, I got completely lost when you said you start with a six-year-old and put him through a trial. I just got
this
stuck
game
on that sentence.
Very
I just, maybe, I don't
I like
know.
It.
However, you could just say, six-year-old, run in there.
Yeah.
And then just see what it's like.
But Remick, bam,
but if you push your kids for too long and they get like 18, 19, there's a risk of them rebelling and staying in that dungeon. And then you've got to send the brother in to hunt them down.
Oh, my God.
I mean, go get your brother.
But also, and they become one of the bosses.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You'd be very old. You'd be an old dungeon daddy by that point.
No, you're an eternal.
You're an ethereal presence.
Maybe everyone is learning from like a little crystal or something and you're the crystal dungeon dad.
Right.
Yeah. You used to be an adventurer, but you were so old you couldn't adventure anymore. You were going to die, and the only way to survive was to infuse your body into a crystal of wisdom.
Yeah.
And
you are the Dungeon Daddy crystal of wisdom that is teaching new adventurers how to.
Now that's a game title.
Dungeon Daddy crystal of wisdom.
Sounds like a Game Boy Advance. Like.
Yeah.
I can imagine it on the little cartridge and little pixel art. Font.
And the thing is, the pixel art is what purple. I'm imagining as well. Yeah. Like the top down sort of. What was it? Crypt of the Necrodancer. Mm. Necrodancer. I don't know why I said that. Crypt of the Necro Ted Danson. Yeah. and that's the sort of style I was imagining. But yeah, you are a crystal of wisdom that's teaching new adventurers to raid dungeons, and they learn through machine learning.
We've got to keep machine learning in there. We need that silicone.
We need the Super Meat Boy meets that one video of Mario that we've both seen. Yeah.
So are there any questions or should we move on to the sequel?
I don't think it should be randomly generated.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
That's why I asked about the set runs.
Okay.
You should have like a dungeon and then you can send a baby in to scout it out.
Will really has a thing against
really
children.
And then next time, you know what you're up against.
Then maybe the baby
train
can die.
Your next adopted child.
So the optimal strat is to send a child in.
Well, it's not an ethical strategy.
It's the optimal but not ethical strat.
And also it costs money to adopt a new baby. So
this is an ethical daddy. This is dungeon daddy.
So you start with knowledge. It's costing $1,000 and the life of a child to scout out.
Yeah.
The dungeon.
But
first.
Then you know what your next kid's going to be up against.
And also, if they're not random, you can make people compete.
True.
If everyone has the same experience, you can make it like you could make it random, but based off a seed that everyone else also follows.
Well, some kind of like online element could be, or multiplayer element maybe. Well, not multiplayer, but you could take your boy. Mm-hmm. And then make him available online for other people to use.
Share my boy.
Share my boy. Have a look at my smart boy.
Look at it, he's got a nice little hat.
I do like the idea of like a proud father. Like, this is my favorite.
Yeah.
I feel like, at the end of the game, if you manage to get your little adventurer through every dungeon, you've then got the ability to take a picture with him and share it on Twitter. And everyone
can just be like, what about if there's some kind of auction
system.
Whoa!
Hold on,
stay with me a second. So,
I'm done with my boy.
My boy is no longer supple and young. He doesn't.
My boy's too old. My boy is too old.
No, but if maybe the gold that you accrue from doing the actual dungeons, you can then go and spend on things like perhaps buying scout babies.
Okay, I did actually think of a hard counter to scout babies.
Okay,
in that strategy, fog of war.
Yeah.
So if you send a scout baby and it gets like 5 feet, it gets stomped by a skeleton, right?
Then at least you know there's a skeleton.
At least
you know there's a skeleton.
There you go.
But like,
and then you send another one in.
But then you don't know the rest of the dungeon. Like, no. You don't know anything. But. Also, what if, in terms of auction, my boy?
Yeah.
Instead of that, what if you could retire your boy?
Right.
And you're like, okay, I don't want this guy who knows a ton.
My boy has become a man.
My boy, yeah, retire my man. Okay. And instead of sending him into a dungeon, you don't want to push him too far and think, oh fuck, maybe I'll lose my boy.
Yeah.
And you then retire him, and then he stands as like a beacon of like the baseline of knowledge. And he then
merges into
you.
Your crystal with you.
He then joins your crystal knowledge.
Okay.
And then
you assimilate him.
And then as a baseline.
Weird fantasy Borg.
And then as a baseline, every future boy now knows some of what this previous boy knew. So you can then retire your boys.
I like how PG-13 this approach is. Like, we're not mating him.
assimilated.
Yeah, he becomes assimilated with your font of wisdom.
And you must touch his crystal to gain his knowledge.
Exactly.
Maybe you could grind him down into like make a little potion out of him or something.
feed that to his brothers.
Get a little bit of, yeah.
Thing is, yeah. I like the idea of like the Rogue Legacy style thing where you do a run, you get some gold, you come back, you spend it to upgrade your future runs forever. I like the idea that you just grind this boy down into your crystal, and then every future boy knows as much as that last ground down boy.
Yeah. I am still on board with Will's scout babies.
But Fog of War. I've already shut down that idea because Fog of War. But
I don't know. Does anyone else scout babies versus Fog of War?
I mean, I'm. I understand the concept of Fog of War. I'm not sure I understand the concept of scout. It's not something you see often in a video game. Remember in Civilization, you know, when
Fog of War. You have the scout to reveal the fog
scout is a man and a dog, though, not a boy, not a young boy.
What do you think, Greg? Scout baby?
I'm not touching scout babies.
Okay. I think it's an option.
What do you mean?
touching scout babies.
I think it's always an option. You always have the option to send a scout baby in, but I'm just saying, Fog of War is going to make it tough. There's no point.
But you might see a couple of rooms or something. You know, I think it's maybe not. You don't see the whole dungeon, but you get a little.
Oh my god!
Does the baby have to come
back?
Oh god!
You send a scout baby in, and it intuitions all the way to the end.
We have to have scout babies in now because that is possible. If there's like a 1 in 10 million chance of that happening,
there'll be that one YouTube video, won't there?
Oh, yeah, 100%
scout baby. Yeah. No damage.
100% scout baby.
People like, bollocks! No way! No chance!
Oh, what a speed run that would be! The scout baby run.
Oh, think about all the knowledge you can gain when you grind that boy down.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
So this is a game where. Yeah. Did we get anywhere with Alec when he was auctioning off children?
That was Tom's idea to then change that into the you assimilate them.
Instead,
you assimilate the men.
I mean, you have a roster of boys, right? And I think it's an ever-growing roster.
I think we should clarify when we say boys, we do mean girls as well.
And girls, boys and girls.
It's just easier to say.
So is this like almost like you're not squad on XCOM, but you know you have a reserve of soldiers?
Yeah,
or whatever.
So you have, I don't know, 100 boys. And girls.
100?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
Or maybe you just have...
That's too many boys.
Maybe every time you're picking a new boy, you can pick from 5. And you have an infinite list
of
boys.
And you send them in.
And you pick from 5, you can see their stats. This one's a great fighter. This one's got high intelligence. This one's good at dexterity, so they can dodge traps easier or whatever. And you're then training that one to be better. It's kind of like the passions in RimWorld, where the more you let them do things, the better they are at it.
Okay.
And then, you just send that boy forward. If it lives for long enough and you're like, right, okay, he knows too much.
He knows too much.
But I don't want him to die.
Well, you
can grind,
so what
you can grind your boy.
How does this work? So what is the reason that you would retire? Do they just get to an age where they're like, their stats
it's like
suffer some kind of...
It's like Escape from Tarkov, where you're like, this boy, he has good knowledge. So Tarkov, the way Tarkov works is you have, it's like a mini DayZ where you loot stuff, escape the run, you keep the weapons, but then you can go into future runs with these weapons, and if you die, you lose them forever.
Okay.
This is like that, in that you have your high-powered, high-geared boy.
Yeah.
And if you send him in one too many runs and he dies, you lose all that intelligence that you taught him. You lose all the gear that he had. Or you could retire him, grind him into your font of wisdom.
Okay, yeah, you should just finish that sentence off.
Grind him down into your font of wisdom, and but then every future boy has that knowledge or some part.
I can say, yeah, it must be like you only get a small portion of that knowledge, because otherwise you would just grind every boy. Grind out.
No, you don't grind every boy.
Sorry. Okay. If you can make them into potions or something, you can only drink a certain amount.
You're stuck
of it.
On this.
Well, like I think grind them down and snort.
Let's just
grind them down.
If you shouldn't. I don't think you should get it permanently. You should be able to.
Oh, so it's just you can give the knowledge to one boy.
It's a little boy buff.
Maybe one, but like I don't know. A potion has like 5 sips in it.
Okay. Yeah. What, and the effect is temporary or it's permanent to
it's permanent to the boy.
Probably permanent.
It's a little boy buff or a boy boon.
But the potion itself is temporary.
But then if you grind that boy down, you don't get the potion.
You can't grind a boy down, have someone else drink the potion, then grind that boy down.
It's just diluted.
Yeah,
it's like when you
diluted boy potion.
It's like when you keep recording in a VHS.
Yeah.
Make copies of a VHS over and over.
Eventually they start learning really weird shit.
Yeah.
And turn into a goblin.
I love this game, actually. I might make it.
Wow.
I might make it next week.
That's the most enthusiastic I've ever heard anyone be. Yeah. And it's from Will.
Yeah.
Will is the most enthusiastic person on this podcast so far. That's wild.
I'm flabbergasted. What do you like about it, Will?
A free week next week. I might make it.
Week?
Yeah. In a week? You don't think much of it, then?
I'll knock it out in a week.
Okay.
I think you could.
Greg, what do you think? Any problems?
I like it. I'm not sold on the potions, though. Well,
oh, for God's sake. Well, you lose
the legacy, then.
Oh, you want permanent effects?
Well, maybe like stat caps. If your boy exceeds a stat cap, maybe.
Oh, they can only learn so much.
Yeah, so you can't just grind scout babies down.
No, that would be horrible.
Machine.
But scout babies don't know anything, so you wouldn't get anything from grinding them anyway.
But I think Greg's good point about like the... Because then if you just put them into potions, that kind of takes away from like the fatherhood element a little bit.
Yeah. I do like the idea of having your son as a potion on the wall.
Yeah.
So not like ever drinking it. It's like,
have a sip of Kenny.
It's like 89.
That's a good year.
Yeah, that's a very good year. Yeah, so I backtracked completely and I go, I'm with you on the potion job.
Oh, so you don't like when you said legacy, that was a good definition.
Then you
of it,
can
right?
have legacy in the potions, and it is a better visual having like a bottle of something on the
wall. If they age, then they become more potent? So like you leave it for a while, it's like, oh, it's only got like +3. Leave it becomes vintage.
Suddenly
it's a +5.
Suddenly
like
you got
it's
plus 10 Carl.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you let it ferment a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ferment your boy.
Yeah. I know, I almost feel like it should be the other way around. The longer you leave it, it can go stale. So you kind of want it, because you know there's that feeling of like whenever you had a good item in an RPG,
Larry's gone off.
You're like, yeah, exactly. Because like, if you find like a fucking a great one use potion or something in an RPG, for me, like I'm always like, I'm just going to save this until I need it for a boss or something, and I just fucking save it until the end of the game.
Yeah.
But so if the potions degrade, you're forcing people to use them, like soon, rather than just them sitting on the shelf.
Yeah,
and they have to think about those decisions.
I think the same with like gear as well. Gear can be lost forever if you send it. You can maybe end up with a hoard of just like chest plates and swords and bows and all these different things. But there's a chance if your boy dies, you lose that armor forever.
If your boy dies,
you should 100% lose it.
Yeah.
But if your boy dies, could that then become potential loot for next boys?
Oh, I see. So previous boys become chests.
And maybe at the entrance to the dungeon, every boy that you have lost in that dungeon, their head is like mounted on a spike outside of it.
Oh, yeah.
So you see the amount of.
And
boys
I do
that you've
feel
lost.
Like you should have to name every single one of them so you get attached.
Oh, yeah, they should be named.
Can you think of any names?
I already had a Kenny and a Larry and a
Kenny
Carl.
And a Larry.
Keith. You've got to have a Keith.
Peter. I think they're not very fantasy names.
Oh, yeah. Also, women names.
We don't do fantasy names.
Beowulf.
Beowulf, yeah, sure.
Lauren.
Charles. Charles is quite a fantasy name.
Yeah.
Brian.
Yeah.
Reginald.
I've got another little feature to add.
Yeah.
If you're really proud of one of your boys and you send him in, you think he's going to do great, but he dies. You're going to want to...
Is that a feature?
You're going to want to do something, right? So you can send in, not a scout baby, but like a scout...
A retrieval child.
A retrieval child. Oh. Retrieve the body.
Insurance baby.
Insurance baby.
Yeah. He wears a suit. He's got a briefcase.
Baby. Yeah.
He's got a briefcase.
You can either like grind that body down or you can taxidermy it or something, put it on the wall.
Stuff the boy. Please never look me in the eye and say stuff the boy again.
Wait, so how does this, so you lose one of your favorite boys in the dungeon.
Yeah.
And but then you have, you can send a baby in to retrieve the body.
Probably not a baby. I don't think it would make it because they've got to make it as far as this guy did, right?
Yeah.
To get the body back.
But then would they be retreading already tripped traps and dead bodies of the stuff that your good boy did?
Yeah, maybe. There may be some more.
Maybe you have to give a baby something like a...
Maybe it costs...
Quite an expensive messenger bag or something. And, you know, you can send the baby in and you're like, he might get the stuff back. If he doesn't, I've wasted 2,000. If he does, then I've got all my good boy back.
Yeah. I feel like the babies are a bit like, you know, the imps in Dungeon Keeper. Where they just kind of like wander around.
Yeah, they just do their own things. You can send them little tasks.
Yeah. Yes, my lord. Off I go then.
Send them off to do little tasks.
So maybe they're not actually, maybe to avoid any problems, we make them, they're not human.
Whoa.
It's something else.
Let's not change the theme. I like your dungeon daddy.
No, I like them being human babies.
Scout babies. Maybe you just have like a roster of babies and you can give one like a little telescope and that's a little scout baby.
Right.
You can give one a messenger bag, that's a little retrieval baby.
Maybe
you can have just like a little lockpick, give a lockpick to a baby and it starts unlocking different routes in the thing for you before it gets, you know.
So now the baby's a whole different thing to actual boys.
Yeah.
Now.
I mean,
babies become boys,
but you're trying
the
to
ones
make
that
use
survive
of the,
become boys.
You're trying to make use of pre-boys.
Okay.
Maybe pre- they're not babies. They're just pre-boys. You're just trying to make use of pre-boys, but if they grow up
you know,
to be
classic,
boys,
that classic saying.
Make use of pre-boys. Yeah. Eventually, they'll be boys.
Nice.
Until they grow up to be men.
Okay.
Or women.
And then you can grind them down or taxidermy them or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Love it.
There you go.
Love the game.
So,
so Dungeon Daddy's Crystals of Wisdom. Was it Crystal of Wisdom?
Crystal of Wisdom.
Crystal of Wisdom.
Can you sum it up for us,
Tom? You play as what?
So Crystal of Wisdom, / Dungeon Daddy.
All the way around. Dungeon Daddy.
Let's just call it Dungeon Daddy.
I think Dungeon
Daddy. Drop the crystal.
Yeah.
Dungeon Daddy and the Crystal of Wisdom.
The thing is, we're having a lot of long names
on
the podcast.
Yeah, we just need...
They're becoming illegible on the thumbnail.
Dungeon Daddy.
For the sake of the thumbnail, Dungeon Daddy.
I love the idea that it's called Dungeon Daddy and the Crystal of
Wisdom.
I
agree with you, but for clickability...
Yeah. For clickability, I guess, hang on.
Okay, thumbnail Dungeon Daddy, title Dungeon Daddy Crystal of Wisdom.
Yeah, there you go.
Dungeon Daddy and the Crystal of Wisdom.
And the Crystal
it's
of
like
Wisdom.
Like an Indiana Jones
no,
thing.
But you are the Crystal of Wisdom. Dungeon Daddy is the Crystal of
Wisdom. Dungeon Daddy, the Crystal of Wisdom. The Dungeon Daddy, who is also the Crystal of Wisdom.
Yeah.
Is a game in which you recruit a lot of boys or girls to put through rigorous trials, spike traps, goblins, skellabobs, lava pits, pitfalls, all these different things, to eventually train them up to send on an actual dungeon mission in which they get as far as they can or hopefully succeed and bring back knowledge and information for your future boys to do their own runs. You can send people off and they die and they lose all their knowledge that you've trained them, or you can keep them, grind them down into your Crystal of Wisdom so that future ones have a legacy of previous boys' knowledge.
Or maybe put them into potions and have them on the shelf.
Or possibly put them into a potion. Maybe when you grind them down into the Crystal of Wisdom, they keep one knowledge stat. If you put them into a potion, it's 5 uses, but they keep every knowledge stat of that boy.
Wow. Okay.
Or something like that. Anyway, And you're trying to get to the end of the game, which is the final dungeon, and it's super tough, filled with every single trap.
There is an end game.
There's an end dungeon, and it's mega difficult. But you need a mega knowledgeable boy.
So just to quickly recap, how did this the initial pitch that start? How did that start off? That was a rogue.
that was a rogue-like. Right? This is the sequel.
Of course. Good idea.
The initial pitch was you're just defending a roguelike dungeon by placing your own stuff, and the adventurer levels up. But then it became a point where you are actually training the adventurer.
I feel like this is almost the perfect pitch please episode, because we've started off with an idea that has then grown in, that we started off pretty solid already,
yeah,
that has then grown into something that is like
Dungeon Daddy
an
and
actual
the Crystal of Wisdom.
Brilliant game that I personally would play.
I would play the ever loving shit out of this. I would play it to death. I wouldn't make it because I've got no idea how, because that's me. I'm not a game dev. However,
I feel like you don't need to say that every week.
I need to say it every time. Okay, I think for us, our stat needs to be, would you play it and do you think it's cool? I would play it and I think it's awesome.
I agree on both counts.
Okay, you've now got three.
I have two questions.
Will, yet again, does not understand the format. Okay.
All right, you have two questions. Go quickly.
Is it a platformer?
No.
What is it?
What, like side-scrolling?
In my head, it looks like Cave Blazers.
In my head, it's top-down.
In my head, it's top-down.
It started top-down and now it's
Cave
Blazers.
It can be.
Okay.
What's your second question?
I can't remember. Can you send multiple boys into one dungeon?
The multi-boy dungeons.
Not at the same time, right? Surely?
I don't know. I like it.
A little gang of boys?
Maybe. In the Crystal of Wisdom 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Maybe you can send multiple boys.
You can either like train up one boy to be your mega boy, or you can train up like five
boys. Oh, and you
boys,
send like a load like of squads.
An army of
Oh, I also forgot boys. You can send babies in to be scouts or messengers.
I think that's a big
that was
train
another, five.
That was a big part
together
of that.
To form some sort of Voltron-esque
adopt
big
you
boy.
Them,
and you got to pay money to adopt
So Will, three questions. Would you make it?
Yep.
Would you play it?
Yep.
And do you think it's cool?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to make it.
Will is actually going to make this.
He's
going to
start it as soon as he leaves the stream. I can't wait.
Greg, would you play it?
Yes, if Will will let me.
Okay, he needs written permission.
I'll give you a key, Greg. Yeah, sure.
Would you personally make it?
No. Why I feel not? Like I'm stealing Will's idea then.
That's my fucking idea. That's how this podcast works.
That's not how game development works.
You wouldn't make it.
No, I would make it, yeah.
Oh, you would make it?
Yes. The problem is like feature creep with this idea though, because there's so many.
I mean, there's potential for it, yeah. But I think if there's a million features and they're all cool, it's not feature creep.
Yeah, I like it.
And the third thing, do you think it's cool?
Yeah, I do think it's cool. I also think we should have a twist at the end, the classic video game twist, where the dungeon daddy is the baddie.
Oh. Your boy turns on you
and you become dungeon baddie.
Oh my dungeon god, your boy! You have to then build a dungeon to stop your boy. Your ultra-powerful boy. Oh, my God. What a miserable ending for a game that is.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like
love
that.
It. Yeah,
and then he smashes
that's
the crystal.
Final boss.
I am all for Dungeon Daddy to Dungeon Baddie. That's good shit.
Okay, would you make it?
Yeah.
Would you play it?
Yeah.
Do you think it's cool?
Yeah.
How
cool?
Oh, my God.
How cool?
How cool?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's probably the... I feel like we've been saying this a lot recently, but I think that is probably the most successful pitch we've had
some real fucking bangers recently, haven't we?
You're smashing it.
They really
Tom.
Highlight
well
the stinkers they do.
Round of applause for Tom, everyone. Good pitch.
Thank you
guys. And
thank you, I have a question.
Yes, Will,
how does the training actually work?
Why
didn't you ask us when we were doing this?
It works.
I'm just thinking about how I'm gonna make it next week. How's it gonna work?
You can figure that out. Thank you Will for coming onto the podcast. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Chris. Everyone just nodded, which is great.
It was a
brilliant.
Pleasure for having me.
And finally,
a pleasure for having him.
Finally, thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, my beautiful boys.
We'll see each other, and I'm sure you, Chris, next time.
Goodbye, everyone. Bye.